I think people would like to give it to Russ. And what you say about like winning numbers do matter, but things only matter as much as the voters decide they matter. We should know that very well at this point, that none of this matters. Like, if they're just going to do whatever they want to do, if they really do think that winning is a big deal, then Harden has a big advantage. If they just want to give it to the guy who's angrier every night of the season, then Russ has a big advantage.
The Fab Break asked me to come on the show, mm-hmm. and I thought he was recording the whole entire time.
That's really funny.
So he recorded the whole show, and then afterwards he's like, "Show me the recording." I'm like, wait, what?
Well, you see, that's really upsetting to me because my guest today, Oliver Maroney, is a man whose time is extremely valuable. You the best. And hey, we the best.
We the best.
Over at Almighty Ballin. Almighty Ballin NBA show. I made it Almighty Ballin NBA show because of search engine optimization. So now if you put in NBA.
Those numbers up, you know? Get those mentions up.
Yeah, well, I thought it was important that my show comes up if you search for NBA. Because that's what we talk about here on the podcast. If you're new to the show,
on the NBA show,
if you didn't figure out, yeah, if you didn't figure out that we talk about the NBA on Almighty Ball and NBA show, and I said we the best because longtime friend of the show Keenan Womack is here. So today's show is going to be talking about MVP rankings. So to talk about the league's MVP with Oliver Maroney from Basketball Insiders
and the real MVP, me.
Yep.
So go ahead and follow at OmaroniNBA, at Almighty Ballin, and at ABPN Podcast.
That's almost as efficient as Kevin Durant's season.
Well, do you want to start with Kevin Durant, Oliver?
Sure, let's do it.
Just so the listeners know, Oliver Maroney, Basketball Insiders, he does their weekly NBA Most Valuable Player watch. He had Kevin Durant number 3, so start from there. Just start running.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, Kevin Durant is on probably the best team in the NBA right now. I think most of us could probably assume this. You could say the Cleveland Cavaliers are up there as well, but the way that Kevin Durant has been playing on both ends of the floor has surprised me. I figured he'd be a number one option on this Golden State team, but I figured it would take a lot longer than what it has. And on defense, he's really impressed me. I think that is overall just like lockdown one-on-one defending has been pretty superb, as well as, I mean, obviously you've seen the spectacular blocks and steals that he's been getting, but I think just with this Golden State Warriors defense, he doesn't have to do as much, and so for that reason I think he's shining and showing how good he actually is on a good team. And the Oklahoma City Thunder were a good team, but they weren't, you know, they're not Warriors good here. So I'm just very surprised. I mean, the efficiency that he's scoring at and the rate that he is rebounding the ball, he's making good decisions for the most part. I've just been very, very impressed with what he's done so far. And if the Warriors continue to just play at the rate that they're playing, they should be pretty close to 70 wins.
Yeah, so, I mean, both of us, by us, I mean Keenan and I, we're from Texas. And so we got to see Kevin Durant during college, and of course we're big NBA fans, and we saw him during the regular season. But, I mean, Kevin Durant has just never been this good on defense, and you could make the argument that what they were really missing in the death lineup that is now the mega death lineup was a weak side shot blocker. Draymond Green is, I think, probably the best lockdown defender and the best shot contester in the league. It's like, you know, if he's contesting a shot, he can do that, I think, better than anyone else. But they didn't have that guy who Kevin Durant helps on defense, on any defensive possession, on any action, even if it's not a shot contest. So it's interesting because Draymond Green is, I think, one of the leading defensive player of the year candidates. But Kevin Durant is the most efficient scorer in the league, but also might be a more important defensive piece to the Warriors, then the guy is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big change from like what his role used to be. I mean, even when he was playing for the Thunder, I mean, he was almost a liability at certain instances, you know? And now he's I guess he's, as Oliver just said earlier, since he doesn't have to do as much on offense, I think that gives him more energy to where he can be a pretty important part of, like, a pretty efficient defense.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's a big part of it, Oliver? Like, is that your impression when you're watching the team? Because I've talked about this with the Timberwolves. They get so tired by the second half because they have so many isolation times that they're trying to score in isolation. Like, and that's really exhausting. It's so much harder than just passing to the open man and, like, taking that shot or, like, scoring in transition just by pulling up and shooting a three. I think that since he doesn't have so much of a burden to create offense internally on isolation, he just, yeah, I mean, like Keenan said, I think he has so much more energy on defense.
Yeah, and I think it's also the system, but I go back to Keenan's point here really quickly. You look at a guy like Harden last year who was just absolutely terrible on defense, and that's another MVP candidate. We'll move on to him at some point, but I'm sure. But defensively, he's been much better this season as well because he's had other guys around him that are able to score, and he's able to assist them instead of do so much ISO one-on-one dribbling. And it just gives the guys a lot more energy on the defensive end of the floor. You talk about a guy like Kevin Durant, I mean, that guy, I don't know how many times, but late in games, just like you saw against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas Day, you see Kevin Durant in the ISO situations again, and he didn't look as polished on defense against the Cavaliers in that fourth quarter. That was one of the main reasons I thought that Cleveland won that game, was just like silly mistakes down the stretch that were caused from Durant being in ISO situations too often. But, you know, going away from that, for the most part, the Warriors have been pretty good without the ISO ball like Oklahoma City used to do. And so, like Keenan said, I think that that is definitely a very good point. I mean, when you expend so much energy on offense and then you have to then play defense, it's very difficult when you're on a team that anybody on the team can score from outside or score from inside, and you just can make the easy pass. It's 10 times easier on defense for you as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny because watching him, you know, it's good to see Longhorns doing well, you know. But it's, I don't know, it's sort of, I think he's going to get sort of overlooked because he is on this team that is so stacked with superstars, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
before the season started, I kind of had this theory that nobody on the Thunder or Warriors would win the MVP because now the Thunder weren't going to be nearly as good and the Warriors were going to be too packed. But I don't know. I mean, two of the top three in my mind guys are Durant and Westbrook. So,
and then James Harden, who's also on the Thunder.
Yeah.
It's just, way to go, Thunder.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Three MVP, of MVP the
three,
winner, two
the three best players in the league used to be on the Thunder. Sam Presti, man.
Great. Yeah.
Where's the tweet for that? Like, I've been waiting for one of those, man. That's a tweet just waiting to be retweeted millions of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody needs to step in and do something.
There you go. Inky.
That's what it is. But you know, that's, you know, I thought the same thing actually. I thought the Thunder were going to be really bad, and I had a guy on, from the, Down to Dunk podcast, great podcast, covering the Thunder, to apologize because, I had him on during our team previews, during my team previews, and I just told him his team was going to be garbage, and so I had him back on, and I PayPal'd them $12 so they could buy a six-pack, so, but the thing is, the Thunder are okay. The thing is, though, you mentioned in this article that they're two of their last four. Of course, this was on the 22nd. But, like, they're going into a real rough stretch. And I think two things have to happen for Russell Westbrook to win MVP. And I'll see what you guys think about this. I think that the Thunder have to win more than 50 games. That's, you know, requirement number one. And Russell Westbrook has to truly average a triple-double, I think. If he does, if he averages, like, you know, 25 or 30, 10, and 8, I don't think he's going to cut it. And Harden wins.
I don't know. I feel like right now it's, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think a big part of winning MVP is
wrong.
I think a big part of winning MVP is just fan, like social media presence, and like not necessarily tweeting, but people talking about you all the time, and people are just blown away with what he's doing right now. And I think that that's going to factor in. I think there's going to be a lot of outrage if he doesn't win, if he keeps the stuff up. And yeah, I think the Thunder are probably going to have to finish like, it might come down between Harden and Westbrook, whichever team has the higher seed in the West. Like, honestly, like I could see that.
Oliver, would you agree that it's a two-man race at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say because I think it's probably a two-man race, but there's like this 10 or 15% chance in me that says that Russell Westbrook and Harden could have, you know, drastically different second halves of the season. And if that happens, where potentially both the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder kind of drop out of this top four, I guess, or upper echelon of the Western Conference, then potentially there's some appetite for giving a guy like LeBron James or giving a guy like Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard a nod because of the team record. Because, I mean, since, what is it, 1985, I think, the MVP has been inside of the top two seeds in either the East or the Western Conference, I believe. So it's hard for me to see, you know, there's just this 10 or 15% chance that, you know, the Rockets win less than 50 games, the Oklahoma City Thunder win less than 50 games. And, you know, if Cleveland or Golden State jump out in front to where they win 65, 70 games, then maybe there's an appetite to give one of those guys an award.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, the triple-double on top of they have to have at least 50 wins because, you know, it's pretty rare for a guy to win whose team isn't like one of the elite teams, you know. So, but the reason why I think that this year would be a statistical deviant in terms of NBA history is because Russell Westbrook's play is a statistical deviation from NBA history. Like, you know, triple doubles in of themselves don't really mean anything, but we use the decimal system, right?
Yeah.
And there's something special about 10, you know? We count things in groups of tens, hundreds of thousands. There is something that's like meaningful about averaging 10, 10, 30 or 10, 10, 10. If you put up incredible stats, you know, that's one of the ways that you win MVP. So I don't think that there's anything inherently great. I don't think that you're, if you have a 30, 10, and 8 game, like that could possibly be better than a guy who gets like 30, 10, and 10. But there is some type of cultural significance involved in averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, it's a cleaner number. It looks better on, you know, it's like an aesthetic thing almost. You just look at it and it just looks better if they're all the same amount of digits. That's a pretty, like wild thing to like study, but I think that is totally true. You might not even like think about it that way, but with Westbrook too, it's not just the triple doubles. I mean, there's some pretty, he's cut down his turnovers a ton, because beginning of the year he was really struggling like with turnovers. He's turned the ball over a lot, and I think he's gotten a lot better at that. He was almost averaging a quadruple double. He's almost averaging a quadruple double because he was getting so many turnovers every time. But the other night he had 22 assists. You know what I mean? Like, he's starting to, it's not just the fact that it's a triple double. I mean, there's pretty insane stuff that he's doing outside of 10. I mean, 22 is a lot more than 10. You know what I mean? And 22 assists is outrageous. I mean, and I don't know if that speaks to a change in his game or the fact that he just has to do everything because there's not really a whole lot of, a whole lot outside of him, but I don't know. I think we're also in this sort of era where people really don't like the super teams. Like, there was so much hate for Durant, you know, when he decided to leave, that maybe they want to give it to a guy like Westbrook who's loyal to his team.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I think that loyalty thing is part of it, but, I mean, you look at the Houston Rockets and what James Harden's doing, and, you know, it would certainly, you know, count in our heads, the perception would be that he's having a bigger impact if he had, if he was averaging a triple double. But like in actual reality on court basketball, I mean, James Harden, I think, has been by far and by not by far and away, but he just has been the better player. And, you know, you said that, like, top two teams in the West or the East. I think the Rockets might end up being the second seed. We called that, by the way, Oliver. Yep. Like, we both did. Said the Rockets were going to be good, and we both said that James Harden is probably going to win MVP. So we're dope, I think.
Hey, you know, if we were in Vegas, we would have won a lot of money. I think when I originally said Harden was going to be MVP, the Vegas odds were like 26-1. So you would have won a pretty good penny if you would have gone to Vegas and bet right after the great Chris Axman or Oliver Roney mentioned James Harden winning MVP.
You guys should have a gambling show.
Consummate professionals.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been impressed, man. Both these players are playing at a very, very high rate, but I think you can really distinguish the on-the-court value pretty quickly. When you watch Westbrook, it just seems like it's so inconsistent on the defensive end of the floor, and then also I think his offense is also somewhat inconsistent as well. You know, he'll go for 25 points. The next he'll go for, you know, 6 or 8 points on terrible efficiency. The three-point shot has been better for him. He's been actually, like, way more efficient than I thought he would be. The Oklahoma City Thunder are way better than I thought they would be. So,
yeah, it's worth mentioning, though, it's like a jump from, like, 28% to 33%. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
true, but still, that's a marketable improvement on any player.
Right. No. I mean, it's really impressive. And like you said, I also did not expect it. I thought he was going to become less efficient. And he's having really his most efficient season of his career, which is pretty interesting. It's pretty weird. It's not what you would expect. But James Harden has done basically the same thing, except on a better team, and he's more efficient.
Yep. No, I mean, I can't disagree with that.
The Rockets are what right now? Do you know what seed they'd be if the playoffs started right now?
Well, the Clippers have lost, what, like 6 in a row?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're falling out. They're falling out really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard a lot of people talking about, like, preseason, talking about Chris Paul being in that conversation, you know?
Houston is just playing. I can't believe they're doing this. I don't get it. I was really high on them at the beginning of the season. I mean, you remember,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah.
I was really high on them. Just, like, everything about the team made so much sense. But Clint Capella's been out, and I thought for sure, like, oh, crap. Here comes the disarray. Here comes, like, D'Antoni losing the bearings, you know, and this could potentially really, really fall out quickly. But they've just rattled off win after win. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've won 12 of their last 14.
Yeah.
10 of their last 12, something like that. They've lost 2 in the month of December, I believe, overall.
They've won eight of their last 10 and are on a 4-win streak right now.
Yeah, and they're just obliterating other teams, though. Like, the way that they've beat some of these teams, if they beat Phoenix, like, they scored, like, 135 or something like that on Phoenix. Like, it's just, it's fun to watch, first of all, but, like, it's impressive without Capella, because I thought Capella was a really big portion of this team, and I'm obviously been proved wrong.
Well, no, he's important. You know, this is actually something
he's
important. I just talked about this with the Salmon, who hosts Red Nation, the Houston Rockets A-Team podcast. We just recorded a podcast about the Rockets, and that's one thing I talked about with him long term is, like, you can't give Clint Capella a ton of money when he's up for a extension, because it's like, I compared it to running backs in the NFL when you're picking them in the draft. They're just not as valuable. There's just, you know, you can have a really good running back, but they're sort of replaceable. And I mean, that's what centers basically do. That's what pick and roll centers do. Like, they are actually like running backs. They just run down the lane, you know, in these quick spurts. It's so much more important to have in the modern NBA that guy, that QB, like James Harden, to be elite. And, I mean, Montrezl Harrell, you look at the reason why I thought that they wouldn't drop off with Montrezl Harrell instead of Clint Capella. You can see it in games. You know, James Harden in pick and roll is having historically the best season as the ball handler in terms of efficiency and pick and rolls. He's averaging like 65% effective field goal percentage as the guy in pick and rolls. And like, that's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to be like, you know, 50. And then the roll man averages 60. even though Montrezl Harrell is 50% on those rolls instead of Clint Capella's 60, he's like marginally a better free throw percentage, but a third of the time he gets his own rebound and then puts it in. And like, that's the thing, right? Is like, you're trading off efficiency for these putbacks, and it's like, you know, basically the same thing once you count that in.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I guess I just, for me, it was hard to understand like the backups really having the impact that they've had, obviously, even with the putbacks and whatnot, just like being comfortable and, you know, moving around the paint the right way and just like doing the very simple things. Cause honestly, I just didn't think there were many other guys on this team that could do that. But yeah, like I said, they proved me wrong. I mean, Harrell's been playing really, really well. And then, Decker, I think has looked really good too for the Rockets. So both those guys, hey, and your guy, I remember you mentioned it to me.
Yeah. Okay. He's not been quite as good as I thought, but whatever.
Yeah. The first part of the season though, like the first like 10, 15 games, he was a decent part of it. I think he's been, you know, he's had spurts here and there. Nothing too spectacular or crazy, but I think all of them play a role, and I think that the greatest part for the Houston Rockets was getting back Patrick Beverley.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because that allowed them to do so much on defense that they didn't have previously. I mean, they were playing well before that, but with Patrick, it's – oh, my gosh. It's just been – it's been impressive. I'm really, like, just – kind of jaw dropped at how quickly they've established this offense and how efficient Harden has been. I mean, Harden is by far and away, in my opinion, the MVP right now. I mean, there's just, like I was talking about earlier, the on the court.
I don't know, man. By far and away, like Russell Westbrook's amazing.
No. This is my own personal opinion. Like, look, Russell Westbrook is amazing. He's averaging a triple double. I can't fault the guy. I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the year, I fully expect James Harden to be the MVP and not Russell Westbrook for many reasons. I don't think that the sustainability of a triple-double, the way that Russell Westbrook's doing it while winning, is going to continue as much as it has been. Now, I've been saying that for a month now, so he's proven me wrong. So I may sound like an idiot at the end of the season, but I just don't. I mean, they have one of the tougher schedules in the NBA after the All-Star break, and I'm
Oladipo's
out. I'm a little bit
worried
for the guy. Oladipo's out, and yeah, they're just, I don't know. There's question marks, I think, with that
team. I don't know that it's even physically sustainable. Like, he's just going to run out of gas. He's a human being. Like, you know what I mean? He's a superstar, but I just don't think, I agree with you that I don't think that that's a sustainable thing at all. And he's going to be so gassed by the end of the season from having to do pretty much everything that he's going to pretty much run out of steam and not be able to continue this like towards the end of the season. I think the Thunder are probably going to finish like fifth. And if Harden, I mean, the Rockets are only one game back at the Spurs right now. So clearly they could finish second. I think if they finish second and Harden continues to play as well as he's playing, then it's got to be his. There's no other guy you can give it to. Just from a physical standpoint, I don't know that it's sustainable. Not knocking him at all. I just don't think anybody can handle that, really.
Well, so I talked about this a lot. I talked about this with Zach Harper, actually. I think it was the last time I talked about it. You know, people always say, oh, but Russell Westbrook's not human, or he's an android, or he's a cyborg. But that's the thing. He's not. He actually, in reality, is not. He is a human, and he has human constraints. And like, I get what you mean when you say that, but you can't just dismiss the fact that he is a human being and what he's doing is really hard. But, you know, players have done it before. And I forget who it was that was making this point, but, you know, this season has been the closest thing to, like, prime Michael Jordan seasons. Because, like, he's just doing everything, you know?
Yeah.
Offensively, like, he just is involved and, like, is doing everything for his team. And while I don't think it's as impressive as, like, some of Michael Jordan's best seasons, I think it is really similar in that regard, where it's rare to see a guy, you know, completely running. I mean, having a 40% usage rate on the offensive end, although, like, you know, I don't think he is nearly as good on defense. But he hasn't been like deplorable though, which is
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't been deplorable. I mean, the thing with Westbrook that somewhat amazes me is how he's – I mean
– how he looks like Franklin know
that,
the Turtle.
Teams know that he's the only option.
Yeah.
And yet he's still just tearing defenses apart. I mean, like, I don't remember the play specifically, but it's literally like he rebounds the ball, he dribbles it all the way down the court, and either dunks it or lays it in. Like, not a ton, but, like, at least you can count on it two or three times a game where he will literally go coast to coast.
He does that. That's why he's averaging a triple-double. What they do, because his teammates are not good shooters, they get 10, 15 points a game by they play a lot of bigs. They play big a lot. So, like, Cantor and Adams will box out their man, you know, just let Russell Westbrook, you know, quote unquote, steal the rebound.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for it, though. It's because he just gets that rebound is so much faster than everyone else that he just takes it all the way down and yams it. Or, you know, just takes it all the way down like a freight train.
Pulls up.
Yeah, and there's an easy lob or an easy, like, pass to a corner or something.
Yeah.
Their offense in half court is as bad as people thought it was going to be. It's pretty bad.
Terrible.
They need those possessions, and that's why they rebound, and that's why he's averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
No, definitely. No. It definitely works as of right now. Like, I don't think teams can stop it just because of how athletic he is. Like, it's literally... It's funny to me because people say, like, teams win against individuals. Russell Westbrook is almost, and I'm not saying he is, but he is almost redefining that. Because I don't think there's a team that can actually necessarily, like, fully stop the guy. Like, he just continues to score. He continues to assist. He continues to get rebounds. And, yes, his efficiency may be down in certain games, but, like, he's still keeping his team within games, winning game. Like, I just didn't think they'd win very many games. Like, I just didn't think it was possible for a guy like this to continue as far as he has.
Yeah, no, I did not see it coming.
I have a thing too, like, what if the Thunder were in the East? Like, how would they be doing?
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be one of those things where LeBron James leaves the Cavs, they fall to the worst team, and then he goes back in their top again. Like, if you took Westbrook off the Thunder, they would be one of the worst teams in all of basketball.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's
painful
a constant,
to watch them.
Possibly the worst.
Yeah, I think
possibly.
They would probably, like, be the worst.
Like, I don't really know what you can do. Like, great, Adams is a great little rim protector. He does a good job. Like, he's good big.
Pretty good.
Oladipo is pretty good, but Oladipo is not going to be able to create his own shot night in and night out. Like, I just don't see a player on this team who could really consistently put up offense. And for that reason, like, you're just never going to win a basketball game. Like, you could be, like, I think they could be halfway decent defensively, but, like, offensively, I just don't know how they would score over, like, 80 points.
Kyle Singler. That's the secret weapon.
Oh, don't even
start. Oh, there you go. Kyle Singler. Let him run. Let him go.
Like, yeah, it's...
Unleash the beast.
Hashtag free Kyle.
It's almost unfortunate for him, because I think if they were in the East, he would be ahead of Harden, because they would be second in the East. There's, like, no, you know what I mean?
It's very true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah.
Well, so if we're predicting a bit of a drop-off, or actually, I think it's important to have the conversation, okay, are the Thunder going to be good enough for Russell Westbrook? Because, like, I think really at this point, we can I know, Oliver, you said that by far and away James Harden is your MVP. I think for me, where I'm at is, like, James Harden is definitely the MVP right now, but it's a conversation you have to have with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
he, for sure. And I'm not sure. I don't think it's by far in a way. I don't think there's, like, a huge gap between the two of them. But they're both.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But the two of them are, I think, actually, to use your phrase, I think the two of them are by far and away ahead of Kevin Durant and the rest of the field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, there's a tier one, and then there's a massive drop off to tier two. And then I think there's a huge drop off once you get past Kawhi Leonard to tier three. But that's just, you know, where I currently stand on it. I mean, the problem I see is, like, I guess, yes, right now, if we were to end the MVP discussion, I think it would be very close just based on the fact that Westbrook's doing the things that he's doing and the team has a great record. And by far and away, what I meant by that with Harden is, like, at the end of the season, that's how I feel is what's going to take place.
Yeah,
but also, like I said, the on-the-court stuff, it's not necessarily statistics, just, like, what he's doing for his team. I feel like I don't know if you can say it's more valuable than what Westbrook is doing. I just think it's more consistent, and it's not as, like, I don't know the right word, Jekyll and Hyde, I guess. Like, some quarters it's so high up, and some quarters it's just negative and just terrible. So, I don't know. The team just doesn't play with as much consistency as the Rockets do. But, I mean, like, look at this schedule. Like,
yeah, they've got a really rough schedule coming up.
The Thunder play the Hornets, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, and the Clippers in the next, like, seven games. They play the Warriors, the Jazz, and then they play the Cavaliers, the Spurs, the Grizzlies again, the Trailblazers, Pacers, Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And the Warriors again. Like, they play the Warriors and the Cavaliers twice. They play the Spurs, Jazz, Clippers, and, sorry, Rockets and Hornets in the next month. Like,
so how bad do you think that's going to be? Because, I mean, like, they've been pretty good against good teams recently.
I think they could be below 500 below 500 this month. Like, no, month of schedule.
Yeah.
By a long shot. I mean, look, I think they're going to lose to the Hornets. I think the Bucks is not an easy game for them either. The Bucks are kind of, I don't know.
Giannis for MVP.
Giannis, I mean, I would love for what is him the guy's name? Brogdon?
Yeah, Brogdon. From
Virginia.
He's been killing it.
Yeah.
But, like, look.
He looks like Oscar from The Office.
That's a win. 1-2, 2-2. I don't know. Going down the schedule, I think you could probably realistically see them as, you know, 3 or 4 games below 500 for the month of January. And then you go into February and March, and I don't think it gets much easier than
yeah.
And they can play hard teams. Like, they played some easy teams in the first quarter of the NBA season.
So what do you think they're going to – what record do you think they're going to finish with?
I think they'll have about 40, like mid-40s wins total, probably. And
do we agree that that's not good enough?
I don't think it's good enough, right? I mean, like, look, there's too many good – like, you're going to be 5th seed then, probably? I mean, that's what I would guess.
That was my prediction, 5th or a 6th seed?
I guess so. I mean, they're 5th seed right now.
What? They're the 5th seed right now, so maybe they're the 6th or the 7th seed. I mean, look, the Grizzlies are going to be better, I think, in the second half of the season.
So they'd be
6th. They already are.
Yeah, so Thunder would be 6th. And the Clippers are going to get up there. I think they would be 7th. I think that they would be 7th.
Yeah, exactly. And that, to me, is probably not good. Like, if they stay at, like, the 5 or the 4 seed, maybe.
Yeah,
I think there's a pretty good shot.
Well, I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs, so they're better than I thought. So maybe they'll do better than I thought.
But then again, they have played a pretty relatively easy schedule so far. Like, it's pretty.
Like, the Kings.
Yeah, they played the Nuggets, Phoenix,
the Pistons, the Knicks, the Wizards, the Pelicans. That was a 5-game stretch at the beginning of November for them.
Yeah,
late November.
It's about as easy as it can possibly get.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
played like the Hawks and the Pelicans. Like, I think they played the Pelicans 3 times already,
and the Sixers twice, and the Suns I think twice or three times. Yeah, no,
Kings. Like, I don't know. I think people overlook them just because they just I think they just think that they're a better team, but yeah, they've had one of the easiest schedules. I think Kevin Pelton came out with something somewhat recently about.
Did you listen to our Christmas episode?
I did. I'm a big fan of Pelton's, so
yeah,
yeah, definitely. But I think he came out with something recently about like the schedules after the All-Star break, and Oklahoma City was in the top like 5 of the roughest, the toughest NBA schedule.
Yeah, no, it's. Maybe there's a tornado heading their way.
They're only 8 games over 500. Like, it's pretty feasible to see, like, 4 games under 500 for a couple of months, and they're back at 500, which would sit you about 40, 41 wins. So okay, I don't know.
Oliver, can you listen? I want you to listen to something right now. The Clippers are the 7 seed above the Kings.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, how?
What?
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
Rock divas. I remember saying that on a podcast a while ago.
Well, I mean, I just feel like once Blake Griffin goes down, you sort of lose that punching chance.
Oh, God. Saw that one coming.
Oliver, get it?
That was really well done. That was really well done.
He's been working on that for a while, I think.
I think so.
Okay. Do you guys want to cover some of the... I mean...
I would like to talk about the Raptors a little bit. I don't know what you guys are feeling about the Raptors, but I am... I'm impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
They're playing well.
Oliver, I want to get your opinion on this. What do you think about Valanciunas, Patrick Patterson, and who's their shooting guard? Who's like a young guy, second round pick?
Terrence Ross or Powell?
Powell, yeah. Powell, Patrick Patterson, and Valanciunas. No, for Andre Drummond. And Reggie Bullock.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm game for that, I guess. I mean, if that's something that's feasible, I don't know if I see the Pistons trading their perennial center. I was actually thinking you were going with the Millsap thing there.
Pistons are 16-20, 11th in the East.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, like, Valanciunas is like a Stan Van Gundy center. You know,
Valanciunas is pretty good.
Yeah.
He's been playing pretty good lately.
I mean, and like his offense.
And they've got Keenan's boy, Pirtle in there. You know, they can kind of throw him in if they need to.
Yeah. Well, so the thing with Valanciunas is like, you know, last year, Bismack Biyombo was better alongside the starters. And statistically this year, you know, Big Fro Brazilian Bro, I don't remember his name, but that's
pretty good. That's better. I like that more. He should change.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Lucas Noguera. Lucas Noguera. This year, Lucas Noguera is better alongside the starters. Like, that lineup has a higher plus-minus than Valanciunas with the starters. And last year, Bismack Biyombo was like that because, like, there's such a guard-dominant offense and, like, that's clearly what they need to do because they have the best offense in like NBA history right now in terms of offensive rating. So like Terrence or Valanciunas's best skill is like negated. It's like, you know, sort of like a bad thing. Whereas Stan Van Gundy offense,
they've never been able to really. Yeah. Go ahead.
Stan Van Gundy offenses, like there are lots of post ups. Like there are, you know, like. It depends on, like, finesse a lot more. Like, you have to have better finishing, which Valanciunas is a better finisher than Andre Drummond. Like, and then now you have two – you get – if you're the Pistons, you get, like, you know, either Terrence Ross or Powell. And then you have Patrick Patterson, who's, like, exactly who you would want next to Tobias Harris. Like, now you have – You have Reggie Jackson, and like you can have three elite shooters on the floor always if you're the Pistons. Like you become like a top, I think top 10 offense, and like your defense gets worse, but like they're so bad right now, who cares?
Yeah. Well, as we were
I mean that's a decent idea. I've been thinking about a lot of different things, man. I think you know, Boogie Cousins in Toronto wouldn't be a bad idea. I think I mean, look, there's a lot of guys out there that I feel like are gettable at this point. You know, Paul Millsap seems like the most obvious
one.
Yeah,
that's the one everyone talks
to me, about. To me, it just seems like such a great fit in Toronto. Like, he's 32. You need to make sure that he's going to re-sign in Canada because, you know, well,
you're a hater.
I'm not going to hate on Canada, man. I like me the North. I went up to Toronto last year. It was pretty fun,
man. Yeah, so Kenan,
I got to say, it's a cool city. It's a cool
Kenan,
city.
Kenan, I wanted to ask you something. Which city is further north, Portland or Toronto?
You would think it would be Toronto, so I'm going to go Portland.
Yeah, it's Portland.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Portland is further north.
Snow here three times a year now. Jeez.
Yeah, so you're hating on Toronto, and yet
I wasn't hating on Toronto. Actually, I mean, I actually really enjoy that city. The problem is just there's a stigma attached.
So why'd you say Paul Millsap if he'll sign in Toronto? Chuckle. At Omarone NBA, Raptors fans, take him down.
There you go. That's one of the hardest fan bases to please, by the way.
Maybe for good reason. Like, I think, you know, for the second year in a row, Kyle Lowry is a top 10 NBA player. And last year, Kyle Lowry was arguably a top 5 NBA player. And now DeMar DeRozan is, you know, who's the MVP of that team? I think right now...
Lowry. Well, it depends what you mean by most valuable, though. DeMar DeRozan has been valuable to this team in the scoring and offensive kind of stuff. But when you look at Lowry, I think if you take Lowry off this team, they're nowhere near where they are right now. I think if you take DeRozan off this team, I think they're worse. But I don't think they're as bad without Lowry as they are with DeRozan.
I agree.
What, are they the second best backcourt, you think?
In the league?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
No doubt about it at this point. Portland's backcourt is absolutely falling.
Yeah,
off
that
the
was
table.
That my prediction was Lillard for I thought he Oh yeah, I Steve thought he was competing for MVP.
You and
but.
Steve Kerr, like you nailed the MVP with Lillard.
Hey. Whatever.
Oliver, we had that Portland podcast and you know, I think what I said to you is every day that Nerlens Noel is not on the Trailblazers, I die a little inside. So still here dying.
You're like rotting almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, listen, this is to all you dinguses on Twitter who don't know anything. I've heard that like, you know, Nerlens Noel is like a switchy center and he can go out and contest and stuff. And, you know, that's not what the Trailblazers do. They play a conservative defense and like they need a traditional rim protector, like someone like Rudy Gobert. Here's the thing, like Nerlens Noel the reason why Nerlens Noel works, he can get out, contest guys on drives and stuff. He can get out, protect the rim, and then because he's so fast, if they pass it or dump it off to someone, he'll get back for that, you know? Like, it's not like...
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I'm still, I mean, for me, your trade idea, dude, okay, I want to give you some props here. I tried to give you props multiple times. I did give you props, I think, on another podcast that I went on. I'm not really sure which one, but I'm sorry. I wish I had the actual one.
Many podcasts, can't remember.
You mentioned Andrew Bogut to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I after you mentioned that to me, I literally was, like, having dreams about Andrew Bogut being on the... No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that far, but, like, honestly, though... I've been on the radio, I don't know, a dozen times since that podcast maybe or something like that. And like almost everyone asks me like what the Trailblazers should do. And I immediately go to Andrew freaking Bogut.
So you shout me out on the radio all the time?
Well, see, here's the thing. I did shout you out on maybe like the first one. But after that, I just really, I got the idea that, you know,
you can't do that every time. Like, it's just, it's sort of like, you know, especially with radio as opposed to podcasts, like, most radio appearances are like 15 minutes. Like, it's sort of like a waste of time to be
so
like,
you're asking me for my opinion, yet I'm just going to divert to Almighty Ball.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. I agree with that. Like, you know, I struggle with the same thing. Like, you have 15 minutes get to
props
it.
To you.
Although I shouted out Matt Moore recently, so, you know.
Oh, well. Props to you, though.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm saying it on your podcast. To all your listeners out there who may have listened to me either on the radio or on another podcast.
KO Show.
That idea
Check it out.
Stemmed from you. That idea stemmed from you. So
on Rip City Radio. Yeah. That's the network you join, right?
Yes, it is. 6:20 a.m. You can hear it in Portland. But, yeah, you can hear it. Well, online is usually the easiest way to get it for most people. So, yeah, I really appreciate that idea because I think that idea is absolutely flawless. I think that would work great for the Portland Trailblazers. And if not, I'm kind of coming around to the idea of Paul Millsap in Portland as well.
Eh.
Look, listen to this really quick here. That's sort of really exciting. I know people are going to say, like, Paul Millsap's 32. How many more years does he have? But so just
would
think
you play
about
Paul Millsap
really
at quick. Center?
Probably.
Yeah, like, so you would start Harkless, Aminu, Paul Millsap, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard?
No. I got to. So this is.
Oh,
a
CJ
trade.
Trades. Okay. All right.
No. Hold on here.
Okay. Go.
So I'm thinking you go CJ, two front court players, and another wing player, plus a pick to Atlanta for Kent Bazemore and Paul Millsap.
Kent Bazemore is trash.
What?
No, he's not. But like that makes a lot of sense.
No.
Sure.
No, look. You get the that defense would be so like
Oliver.
So basically Okay. I don't need to convince you. It's okay.
it'd be a lot better. Yeah, I would
and you're buying into my idea.
What?
I feel like I don't know if you're buying into my idea as much as I bought into your Bogut idea. But I think you're buying into just slightly.
No, I think it would be an improvement.
I talking about Sabonis in the preseason. He's been pretty good, huh?
Yeah. I don't think we disagreed on that. I think we thought he was going to be good.
I don't think we did. You were just like, I had never seen him before, I think was what you said.
Oh, no, I remember that podcast. I was on it, too. We were all very pro Sabonis.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, so getting back to the MVP discussion. Oh, okay. Actually, one more thought for you listeners. Hassan Whiteside straight up for CJ McCollum. So LeBron James was I thought, you know, it would be a two-man race between LeBron James and James Harden. So I don't think really LeBron is in the discussion so much.
Do you think LeBron James Harden?
So do you think that he could get back into the discussion?
So everyone knows that LeBron James can put up triple-doubles and he can average godly numbers and be the best player in the association. People still don't really buy into the fact that this Cleveland Cavaliers team could be the best in the NBA, have the best record. I think the only way that LeBron James has even a touch or like a good percentage or a higher chance of getting the MVP award is by having the most wins in the NBA this season. And I just don't know if they're going to get there. But
well, I mean, if they were the best team, well, so I think if the Cavs broke, like, if they got what if they got like 62 wins?
But here's the thing, if they're above the Warriors, yes. If they're the best team in the NBA, that's what I think. I mean, that's the only way I can see him be in this conversation. With any sort of realism, just because of like what Harden and Westbrook are doing are so astronomical in comparison, it's hard to give it to a guy like LeBron James unless you have, well, his team is the best in the league. You know what I mean? Like that needs to be an argument for LeBron James. And if it's not, I just don't see him winning.
I think the whole voter fatigue thing plays into it. Like we were sort of talking about this before the podcast. Like I think people are tired of giving it to LeBron, and like I think that is totally cutting into his chances. Sure. And you know, I watch LeBron all the time. He's my favorite athlete of all time, and he's so good still at everything that he does. He's
so good.
And it's incredible to me that people are already counting him out. You know what I mean? But like, it makes sense.
It's pretty ridiculous.
You know, I agree.
It's pretty ridiculous. Well, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah,
like,
he
it's
is.
Pretty stupid. We shouldn't really even be having this conversation. I get why people are. I get why people want to talk about other players. But it's kind of funny. Like, other sports, I think it's the same way. I don't really think there's any difference. Like, football, Tom Brady is always in the MVP discussion, it seems like, so there's not really...
He'll win it this year, too.
But I just, like, I mean, voter fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
I think voters get fatigue. Deflated sure. on voting
oh,
for
sure.
Tom Brady.
Why would you want to vote for the same guy 10 years in a row? Sorry, no offense. Like, I completely
Oliver, did you
understand
get that?
No, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
I said I think voters get deflated as far as voting for Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. they do get deflated. That's
so corny.
They get deflated. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so let me dig, if you will, this picture. R.A.P. Prince.
Hey.
65 wins for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and maybe he gets.
Oliver, you interrupted me. I don't. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So, Cavs win 60 or above. Russell Westbrook does not average a triple double. And the Rockets win, you know, they come back to earth a little bit. And let's say that the Rockets are the 4 seed, which I don't think is going to happen. I think they're going to be the 2 seed. But yeah, like if that were to happen, so Rockets fall off so that they're, you know, 4 or 5 seed, Russell Westbrook doesn't average a triple double, or the Thunder are under 50 wins. And LeBron's team wins like 60 wins. Like, why would LeBron not win? I think also one thing that people aren't taking into account is that, like, you know, NBA Twitter isn't voting for MVP. It's a bunch of old dudes.
It's just and media old dudes, members yeah. that have been around for 30 plus years usually.
They're going to vote LeBron. They're going to be like, no, did you guys see that block?
They have their old school ways. Yeah. I get it. I get that whole side of things. It depends. I think the one big thing, so like at the end of the season, when it's all said and done, you're going to look at Harden's numbers and you're going to look at LeBron James's numbers, and you're going to look at the team record. Is Houston a 5 seed or a 4 seed? I think that's a huge difference. I think top 4, it's justifiable that he's making his team that much better. If he's a 5, and this is just like my thinking, like I could be totally off on this.
So you think if the Cavs won 60 games and were number 1 in the East and the Rockets were 4 seed, I think that there's no way Harden would win.
I think there is a 25% chance that Harden would win the award. I guess I'd put it that way. I think that the 60 wins doesn't mean much if the Warriors have 65.
Well, I think it does. It does mean a lot.
Team success. It doesn't really, though. They've won the East. Like, how many times has LeBron gone to the Eastern Conference Finals? How many times has LeBron won?
Yeah, it's 8. Sir Will.
I don't know. He's won a million times. And it just, like, I find it hard to believe. Like, because the voters, they voted for LeBron in the past.
Yeah, but, like, did you see, like, the whole world, okay? In game 7, like, LeBron validated himself as the beefiest boy. Like,
for sure.
Like,
cool.
You know, I think that, like, there are a lot of voters, I think. I honestly think that, you know, I think LeBron's in the conversation. You know, I think it's either going to be.
No doubt. I'm not saying that at all. I think LeBron is definitely in the conversation. It's just,
I mean, I wouldn't give it to LeBron. It really
comes down to team record. I don't even think it matters what his stat line is. He could average, quite frankly, he could average like 20 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds on a Cleveland Cavaliers team that wins the most games in the NBA, and I believe that he would still potentially win the award.
Dude, he what? Dingus. So what do you think, Keenan?
Everyone knows how good he is.
You know? I don't know that he could win it with that stat line necessarily, well, but I understand the whole idea that, like, I think it's BS that he's not, you know, I mean, he's the best player on the second best team, and he's been the best player for, what, 10 years now, probably, maybe longer. And I just hate that he's basically just like sort of like the Tom Brady thing. It's just like everybody's tired. Oh, he's going to win it again. Give it to somebody else. Like, it's boring, you know. I think that's,
he's held to a higher standard.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, they're like, well, this guy averaged a triple double. It's like, yeah, but he was on a team that finished 6th in the West. I think it kind of hurts him that he is in the East from a standpoint of media being like he's not playing the same level of competition that a lot of these guys in the West are, that Harden and Westbrook are having to play against. So that might have something to do with.
But I think that's also to your advantage. Too. I think playing in the East is to your advantage. Not enough people talk about Oliver. This, but most of those media members in the MVP conversation are typically on the East Coast or in the East Coast time. Yeah,
exactly.
And so they have more time to watch a guy like LeBron over a guy like Kevin Durant or, you know, the guys who are playing on the West Coast times, because some of these tip-offs are like 7:30. They're probably going to bed at halftime.
Yeah,
no offense. They're old.
Wait.
We talked about this earlier.
Wait, Oliver. Wait, hold up.
Yeah.
Sorry, we had a technical malfunction.
Hang on. Hello?
Wait, Oliver. Wow, indeed. Wow. Oh, God.
Sometimes I wonder if that's the greatest play in NBA history.
I think it's possibly...
Yeah, we...
It's up there.
I mean, we...
It's up there.
We were talking before the podcast, Keenan and I. Like, I still think, and I had a podcast, a solo pod, my only solo pod, I think, before game seven, saying that I think it was the most important game in NBA history. But, you know, I think the most important guest in Almighty Ball in history is Oliver Maroney, Basketball Insiders. Also, listen to him on the KO show at O'Maroney NBA.
Appreciate it.
And then, the most valuable MVP, most valuable podcaster, Keenan, Keenan Womack, old friend of the show, Keenan.
What's the old friend of the show here? Why is it old friend?
Because he's an old friend, a longtime friend.
Longtime friend.
There, that sure. Sounds better. Old friend sounds like he's never been on since like a long time ago, and now he's back on
it's
again.
It's been a while.
It has been, actually. So that would also apply.
Oh, well, then, okay, that's fine. Too, then,
yeah. But I'll be back on a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, this year. New year. Gotta come on strong, me. You know? New year, new me. Page one of 365, my new novel.
Yeah.
Right.
Oliver, if you wrote a novel, I would read it. So
would I.
I think you'd probably be the only one.
So what are you working on right now on Basketball Insiders, and what articles have you recently put out?
Well, I did one on Brandon Wright of the Memphis Grizzlies. He's coming back from injury and should be back in February. So interesting stuff from him, just like quotes from like, he had some interesting stuff about Fizdale and also Dave Yeager. So that was kind of intriguing and different. And then that just released. So that was released last night, I think. So that's up and going.
You had that
Myers-Leonard
piece.
Did have a Myers-Leonard piece. That was good. Then I have a piece with Dylan Ennis, which is Tyler Ennis's younger he's actually Tyler Ennis' older brother, but he's still in college, so it's kind of strange, that kind of aspect. So anyways, I'm writing about that specifically.
Huh.
So that will be interesting. Had a piece on Dylan Brooks, who hit that game winner against UCLA, if you guys didn't already see that, for the college basketball stuff.
Yeah.
That dropped like a couple weeks ago. And then I also have a story on Jason Thompson, former Toronto Raptor, Golden State Warrior, Sacramento King.
Is his brother. Is he in the league?
He is playing for Shandong in China. So him and his brother are both professionals. They're 2 years apart. They've grown up together, were raised together, played basketball together in the same high school and college, which is unusual. And so there's an interesting dynamic there. I just wanted to tell their story. So that should be coming out. And then, gosh, who knows? I mean, the KO show is kind of lifting off here. We've had 5 episodes. Tons of guests, more to come. I think Latrell Sprewell will be on Wednesday.
That's awesome. God. I have Latrell Sprewell socks. It's like him dunking on the Knicks. It's awesome.
I emulated Latrell Sprewell like growing it. Not the choking.
Well,
yeah,
I was about to say,
like,
did you choke your coach out?
Like, did you steal a yacht?
Dude, he averaged 18 points and like, I think it was 18 points, like 6 or 7 rebounds per game in his entire NBA career.
He was good.
That's crazy.
He was really good. Like, he was a very good player. So, anyway, I'm interested in talking to him about kind of stuff going on. Dylan Brooks will be on the show. Hopefully, we'll have a couple other media members, some player managers, some agents. I think we're going to have Terrence Jones on as well. So, yeah, we had a stacked lineup last week. We had, like, Justin Anderson, your little Dallas Mavericks
I saw
down there.
Simba.
Terrence Ross. Who else do we have? Former Indiana Pacer Fred Jones. I don't know. We've had a lot of guests.
Fred Jones.
Fred Jim.
All right. Well,
Fred Jones.
Slam dunk contestant. You know.
Well, yeah, so make sure you go to Basketball Insiders and check out Oliver Maroney's stuff and listen to the KO show on the Rip City?
Rip City Radio 620. Yeah, yeah. I mean, go to my Twitter and you'll find it. It's pretty simple. Yeah, but
at Omarone.
Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, sorry for all the shameless plugging there. That was a lot of shameless.
It's okay. I'll probably cut down a lot of it. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. That's good.
Like,
that's
where we need to probably the Jason Thompson part.
Cool.
Yeah. You see, I can't spend too long shouting you out, Oliver, you know? Like, it's sort of like my Andrew Bogut trade, okay? Like, I can't...
Hey, you should use that in, like, intros and stuff. Like, I'm serious. I give you tons of prop for that. I could literally write... You could have an advertisement. Remember we used to do those advertisements?
Those were fun for Fan Essentials.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah. Those were fun. Those were
hilarious. Are you wearing socks?
I like the whole...
If you are, I'm going to knock your socks right off.
The whole Sixers one with all the defective gear that they would send you.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think those are the best live reads I've ever done. Or not live reads, but best reads I've ever done.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going to ramp up our advertising soon. But okay, well, signing off from Almighty Ballin. Follow @ Almighty Ballin. And thanks for listening. And, you know, check out the rest of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network on almightyballer.com or blogtalkradio.com/ABPN, or just go to iTunes, search Almighty and Baller, and you'll find us all there. You know, lots of great stuff happening at the network. So thanks for coming on, Oliver, and spending some of that most valuable player time, most valuable writer time. You know, time, most valuable guest, Oliver Maroney, and we'll have you back on soon.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much for having me on, and really appreciate talking to you guys both. It's always fun to talk to the Almighty Ballin crew, because you know, you're one of the first that I was a regular appearance on your show, so I always like coming back.
It's pretty much a requirement to have Oliver on at least like once a month, you know, just to check up on my boy. All right, well, thanks for listening. See ya. Good night.